الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أما بعد، all praises due to Allah, and we ask Allah to exalt the mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his companions and all those who follow them on the righteous path until the day of judgment. Da'wah Enhancement Classes Session 2 or Class 2. In our last week's session, we dealt with the virtues of da'wah, why we need to give da'wah, and we dealt with some of the practical ways of doing so, right? And we promised that this particular evening we will be tackling the issue of Islamic terminology, specific terms that are pertinent to da'wah. The same way in the medical field, we have special terms that are specific to medicine that the doctors understand amongst each other. So when they use a word which may be common amongst the people in the field of medicine or in a hospital, that carries a specific meaning, unlike the one which we may assume. Alaykum salam. And the same thing can be said about any other field of expertise or business or profession. Special terms for special people. And da'wah, alhamdulillah, is no exception. In fact, the terminology that is relevant to da'wah is one of the most technical and beautiful. It's nice. And it serves many purposes. First, because it helps you convey the message of Islam, which is important, very important. Second, because it will improve your English skills on all levels. Listening to da'wah material will actually improve your English on all levels. So even back at work, you may start using some words which you have learned in a da'wah course that you didn't use before. And they may increase your salary. Nowadays, you know, the fulus has to do with your English. Speak English, mashallah, big man, big shot, bring him gahwa. You don't speak English, this is the door, see you later. Unfortunately, the English has become a fitna for the people. However, we're not really crazy about English because it's the language of the West. As much as you're interested in learning English so we can use it for da'wah, because this is a common language between all the people of the world. You know, if you spoke Japanese, great, you know, but you can only speak to Japanese people. And if you spoke other languages, it's usually limited to a particular nation. However, English, you'll go anywhere in the world, and you will probably find that the common language between you and any particular person will be the English language. So is that clear? The importance of the English language then for da'wah. Of course, Urdu has its own value and importance, and we're not by any means degrading or belittling any other language. But again, Urdu is specific to people who speak Urdu, and not everybody speaks Urdu, but almost everyone speaks English, more or less. So today or tonight, you'll be doing much of the talking, and I'll be doing much of the examination. I will examine you to see what you know. I had suggested that some of you bring notebooks, and I'm pleased to see that some do have notebooks. As for those who don't have notebooks, life goes on. Inshallah, maybe next week you will have a notebook. No matter how intelligent we think we are, we're not that intelligent. And you will forget. You will see. You will see. I will say something today, ask you next week, and you will see that 50 or 60 or 70% will not remember the word, those who relied on their intelligence. So, you know, even the ulama in terms of language, they say the word insan comes from nisyan, forgetful. We're forgetful people. So I hope you will utilize some means of, you know, writing down notes, because some of these words may not be used very often, but you need them. And let me begin with the, before we go into the particular Islamic terminology, we want to deal with the grammar, the English grammar. This is like school now, right? We're not going to be dealing with the past perfect and the past participle. This is too sophisticated. But something that has to do with singular and the plural. Very often, people combine or mix up these two rules. I've heard people say, we thank God for all the blessings. Wow, you thank God? How many gods do we have? How many gods do we have? That's dangerous, man. I mean, the listener is like, oh, the Muslims have more than one God. Okay, I wonder who they are. So adding an S to the word God is a killer. It will kill the message. Very common mistake among some. And you can come up with more examples. You know, the issue of singular and plural is a very simple issue in English. If there's an S, it's plural. If there isn't, it's not, right? There are exceptions, but let me get a quiz here. What's the plural of the word sheep?
Sheep.
Yeah, salam. Busted. Sheep is one of the words that does, the plural and the singular are the same. Sheep, right? Tricky. So if you go and say, you know, there were many sheeps and you know, in the yard, this is incorrect. Because sheep, the plural of sheep is sheep, right? What is the plural of, right there, you're looking away now, I'm looking at you. Hey, you're like, who? Foot. Feet. It's okay, Malish. No grades. This is not school. You will still do good in school, inshallah. With me, even if you get a zero, nothing happens. Foot, the plural of foot is feet, ya shabab. Again, you know, you say foot. If you say foot, okay, what the person will think is the apostrophe S, possessive, you know, the rabbits or the foots or something along these lines, you know, the teacher's book. Teachers is not teachers. The S is the possessive for the, you know, the book belongs to the teacher. So this may cause some confusion. Again, tayyib. Time on. Everybody knows this one. Everybody knows it. Child. Children, are you sure? I mean, I'm going to make you doubt now the basic things that you know. Tooth. Teeth. Okay, good. So, English is good. Alhamdulillah. English 101. Inshallah, after this, you're ready for the TOEFL. This was grammar, and there's more. We have issues of what they call subject-verb agreement. When the subject is singular, then the verb ends with an S, and vice versa. So you say, do you say, let me see someone here, you. Did I ask you before? Okay. Do you say, God helps the people, or God help the people? Help? Hold on. We need both. Who agrees? God help the people. We're not making dua here. We're giving information. We're explaining. Who agrees with him? Raise your hand. Who disagrees? So it's supposed to be God helps the people? Indeed. The subject verb agreement, the salary will remain the same, inshallah. I have nothing to do with you, boss. The subject verb agreement is when the subject is singular, the verb ends with an S. And when it is the other way around, when it is they, okay, they eat chocolate. I is an exception. I and you is a whole other story. But he eats chocolate. They eat chocolate. So it's the other way around. Again, it may make a difference at times. We have more things related to grammar, which we can elaborate on, but I don't want to turn it into a grammar lesson. We really want to deal with Islamic terminology. How much do we know of Islamic terminology? Now, I will ask a question. Those who attend our other classes are not allowed to answer. This is for the brothers who don't come very often. The word fornicator, what does it mean? I want you to raise your hand. Fornicator. Were you coming to the morning Riyadh al-Salihin? No? What does fornicator mean?
The one who has sex before the marriage.
Huh?
The one who is involved in fornication before his marriage.
No, you. I want the definition. So fornication is relations before marriage, not after marriage. Now what do we call it after marriage?
Adultery.
This is very technical, but most people may not know. In fact, fornication is restricted to unmarried people who have never been married before or get engaged in an illegal relation, Islamically. This is called fornication, and the man is called a fornicator. Okay? Adultery is when married people, either currently married or previously married, meaning they were married 10 years ago, they divorced, they've had a marriage before. If they were to get one of the two, if they were to get engaged in a relation which is Islamically prohibited, then this is called adultery. So this makes a difference, because the people usually know the variation between the two. If you're giving a lecture and you want to speak about, now in Islam we have a different ruling. The adulterer, what's the ruling on the adulterer? You wouldn't know that one. Somebody else. Brother. Ma fi ma'lum. No problem. Huh? Junaid. How? Stoning to death. For the adulterer. Right? What about the fornicator? 100 lashes. The ruling changes. The ruling changes. So if you explain to the people and you say, in Islam the fornicator is stoned to death, this is wrong. And you convey to them incorrect information about Islam. Because they know that fornicator is associated with unmarried people, and now your da'wah has backfired. Right? What does the word malaika mean in English? Brother. Malaika. Angels. Okay. No. Malaika is plural. So angels. Malak. Angel. طيب, I have some words here. Anyone who's interested in getting this, actually, this is a list of Islamic terminologies in Arabic and English. It's very basic and straight to the point. If you wish to receive this, please email me at onewaytoparadise@gmail.com. One way to paradise. Spelling, yeah. Spelling test. Spell one way to paradise. Spell it. O-N-E-W-A-Y. Huh? No, two. T-O. Ayywa, ba'din. P-A. D-I-S-E. MashaAllah. If this was mine, I would give it to you as a gift. But it is not mine. I think if I give it to you, they'll be upset. Good spelling skills. One way to paradise. onewaytoparadise@gmail.com. Just email me, say the sheet you spoke about. Now please, don't send me all capital letters. Some brothers, mashallah, they send me an email with all capital letters, big, as if this is in the world, this is considered an offense. If I send you an email with capital letters from the beginning to the end, I'm saying, in other words, that you don't understand. So I'm making big, big letters for you to understand, because your understanding is tight. So never send an email with all capital letters. You know, assalamu alaikum, capital brother, in the dars you mentioned something. No. You have, you know, we have rules of, you know, punctuation. The first letter is capitalized, everything else is small, unless it's a proper noun, you know, the rulings. So send me an email concerning this, and I will email you this, inshallah, and other material which may help you in terms of the da'wah terminology. And if you wish to receive SMS messages concerning the da'wah activities which we have, include in the email your cell phone number. I will add you also to the SMS list, inshallah, so you'll be receiving notifications concerning the various da'wah activities that Allah has blessed us with. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. طيب. So let's see. Arkan al-Iman. Arkan al-Iman. Yes, you need to translate it. Just like Google. Think about it. Huh? Who can translate? Arkan al-Iman. Tahir. Pillars of Islam. MashaAllah. Arkan al-Iman. Pillars of Islam. Ya Hajj. You didn't do Hajj yet. Arkan al-Iman. Tahir. Pillars of faith. Yes, yeah. It's, I mean, if I said Arkan al-Islam, Alhamdulillah, you would have had it right. Arkan al-Iman, pillars of faith. Who can enumerate them in English, brother over there? Yalla ya Shaykh, you got nothing to lose. Fadbal. Yes, go ahead. I need the pillars of Iman in English to believe in Allah. This is the Shahada, no, but the pillars of Iman are six. To believe in Allah, His angels, mashallah, His angels, His messengers, books, Day of Judgment, and the last one. Taqdeer? No, daqiqa. Hold on. Time out. Who said Taqdeer? No. Taqdeer has one of two meanings. Either to evaluate or to appreciate. And in the Arabic language, this is not applicable. You mean qadar. Hey, there's a difference. There's a difference between taqdeer and qadar. It's qadar, but how do we translate that to English? Destiny? Good or bad destiny? One word they use is destiny. What's another word? Faith? No. Definitely not. Faith is Iman. Faith, or F-A-T-E, I'm sorry, my fault. Okay, faith. Future. MashaAllah. No. Preordainment. Preordainment. This is one of the, just if you come across it in a book, you will know what they're talking about. They call it decree or pre-decree. Or destiny or predestiny. Ordainment or preordainment. These are all words used usually to translate the word qadr. طيب جيد. If I want to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, how do I translate it to English? No, I need someone to raise their hand. تفضل يا شيخ. The most what? Gracious and most merciful. Oh, beneficent. Hey, the most beneficent. Now be careful, don't say beneficial or something that, because that changes the meaning. The most beneficent, the most merciful. They also, other translations, just in case, so you know. The most compassionate, the most merciful, right? And they use others as well. The most merciful, that they say the specifically mercy, huh? Most gracious. There's a shh sound. Even though it's not written there, you don't say gracious, you say gracious. The word or the noun itself is grace. By the grace of Allah, meaning by the mercy, the bounty, the favor of Allah. If somebody's saying, how are you doing? Say, by the grace of Allah, I'm good. By the grace of Allah, I was able to give da'wah. Yani by the facilitation, the ni'mah, the bounty, the rahmah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Tayyib. Now you say this all the time. Rajim, you have to raise your hand. A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. I want the whole thing. Aqa Talha. A'udhu. Give me the whole thing.
A'udhu billahi.
Hey.
I seek refuge in Allah from the outcast shaytan.
I seek refuge in Allah from the outcast shaytan. Tayyib. Good. However, let's be more technical. When you seek refuge in something, is unlike seeking refuge with something, right? And I didn't know this until recently. One of the students of knowledge notified me concerning this. He said, usually you use in when it has to do with a physical location. Like you seek refuge in a cave from the rain that is falling. Whereas when you seek refuge with an entity, it doesn't have to be a physical entity. A support, it could be moral support or spiritual, then you use with. So it's better to say, I seek refuge with Allah. with Allah rather than in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, right? Both, usually they both are used, but if you want to be more particular, I seek refuge with Allah from the, you said, what was the outcast? What's another word that is common? Cursed or accursed. A-C-C-U-R-S-E-D, either cursed or accursed shaitan. Both are used for him, alayhi la'natullah. And another one that they use is the rejected. Rejected. Rajim is kicked out, is deprived of the mercy of Allah. Tayyib. Let's see, this is gonna get more fun, inshaAllah. Tayyib. Wahi. Noise in the hands? That reminds me of the classroom. Tayyib, revelation, good. Hajj, raise your hand, please. Hajj, faddal. Pilgrimage, sah? Tayyib, what do we call the Hajji, the person doing Hajj? Pilgrim, mashallah, you brothers are good. This one is tough. Khushu'. No. I mean, yes, but no. Both meanings are in there, but there's a more accurate term. Yes, it's a form of tranquility. You cannot get khushu', that tranquility, without, what do you say, relaxation? A concentration also, but there's a specific word. MashaAllah, you remember this from when? Submissiveness. Malish, it's a little long, but it's good. From the word submission actually, right? Submissiveness is the state of being in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which is that idea of khushu', because it puts you in this particular state. Excellent. Tayyib. Islah. That's a good one. There's another one. Islah bayn al-nas. These two brothers are fighting and I come and do islah. What do you call this action of bringing them together? Compromise? Big mistake. You know what compromise means? It means to be willing to leave something off. Okay? I will not compromise in my religion. They try to offer you something to trick you, and he said, I don't compromise with my Islam. So they may be compromising between them, but what you're doing is not compromise. What are you doing? Reconciliation. Reconcile. To reconcile between two brothers is to come in between and try to bring them back together if they have been if they have departed from one another for some reason or another. You reconcile between them, and this act is called reconciliation. Okay, again, if you had notes, this will help you in the future, inshallah ta'ala. Tayyib. If we say that this woman is chaste, what does that mean? Chaste. More. I mean, yes, for her to be chaste, she must have a good character, but that's not what is intended. Haya is not... Haya is modesty. That's not what we're looking for. Chaste. She's a chaste woman. I'm sorry? Junaid, remembers Allah? Ya salam alayk ya Junaid. No? No? Chastity, chaste, is a woman that does not get involved with men. A woman who protects herself from anything which is displeasing to Allah in terms of her relation with the other gender. So if a woman is in this particular condition, she maintains her chastity. We say she's a chaste woman, right? This is important because Allah had allowed the Muslims to marry Jewish and Christian women on the condition that they are chaste. Meaning she cannot have boyfriends and then, you know, she meets this Muslim man and then he decides to marry her. She must be chaste, muhsana. A woman who hasn't been with men, who is not, you know, of this particular nature, this is called a chaste woman, and this is what we are intended here. طيب. We say, Allah says in the Quran, ذَلِكَ وَمَنْ يُعَظِّمْ شَعَائِرَ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّهَا مِنْ تَقْوَى الْقُلُوبِ. Sha'air is the plural of sha'ira. What is the meaning of the word sha'ira in English? No. By the way, the context of the ayah is dealing with hajj. Whoever magnifies the space of Allah, then this is an indication of the piety in the heart. What is the missing word? That and whoever magnifies, meaning he gives importance to space, the word I'm looking for, sha'airillah, the blank, the space of Allah, then this is a sign of the piety in the heart. No, it's a noun. Sha'air, sha'ira, rites. Not the rites, W-R-I-T-E, R-I-T-E. Be careful. There's the right, which is the right hand, R-I-G-H-T. Or he's right, R-I-G-H-T. And right, R-I-T-E. Which is, it has to do with ritualism and ritual, which is the rite of Hajj, meaning the various manasik. The manasik and the sha'air of Hajj. Tayyib. Brother, Tawbah. Tawbah in English. No. I asked the brother, man. Let me hear the brother. You said forgiveness, akhi. Fine. What is maghfira? Ah. Forgiveness. So then, repent. Tawbah must be something else. What is Tawbah? Repentance. A difference between forgiveness and repentance, right? So maghfira is forgiveness. Allah's maghfira. Allah is the one who forgives. Tawbah is repentance. Type the forget it. It's gonna okay. Ghaddul basar. You're walking down the street and a woman, a'udhu billah, who doesn't fear Allah, walks by. And Allah told us in the Quran, وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. What do you call in English? You may be explaining to some non-Muslims, some of the teachings of Islam. And you want to tell them that Islam teaches something. What are some of the words you may use in English that sound nice?
Lower your gaze.
Lower your gaze. Lowering. What does gaze mean?
View.
Huh? Yes, gaze usually is looking at someone with a particular intent and usually for some duration of time, like glaring, different than seeing. Because you may see someone or you may look at someone briefly, but glaring at someone, staring at someone, and gazing at someone indicates checking them out in the process. So lowering the gaze is actually lowering one's sight. Because the first one is yours, that by the accidental look is allowed. Not because you have no choice, it happened by mistake. After that it is not allowed. Jameel, طيب. If I want to say, Akhi, you must have tawakkul on Allah. Raise your hand, please. No, raise your hand. You gave. I want someone who didn't answer. Fadbal. Hopeful? Reliance on Allah. And it's a tough business trying to do these two languages at the same time. No, akhi, hopeful is amal. Reliance. What's another word? Trust in Allah. Good. What's another word? Believe? Tawakkul, particular. Depending. Dependence on Allah. So we have dependence on Allah, reliance upon Allah, placing one's trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are all words that can be used to deal with tawakkul ala Allah. Tayyib. Let's see, who was here last Tuesday? Brother, Can I say, I want to give you a gift of the Holy Quran? No? Stand up, please. Why not?
Because
Holy
means divine.
Aywa.
It means it is of Allah.
Okay. But the Quran is a speech of Allah. It's okay, it's okay. Jazakallah khair. I'm giving him a hard time, man. I'm sorry. He gave the correct answer, in fact. Because we said, usually, in the context of the Christians particularly, holy means divine, something to do with God. And so when you say Holy Quran, even though it is the speech of Allah, even though it's the speech of Allah, that particular adjective was never used by Allah, nor was it used by the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because we said the word holy in Arabic means muqaddas. And you've read the whole Quran, insha'Allah ta'ala, you never came across Al-Quran al-Muqaddas, Kitab al-Muqaddas, never. Neither did you read it in a hadith. Where did it come from? From the Christians who have their holy Bible, right? Al-Kitab al-Muqaddas in Arabic, that's what it's called. And that Kitab al-Muqaddas, which was not in English in the beginning, it was in Arabic, it was in Hebrew, right? Aramaic, Hebrew, then Greek, then from Greek into, but the first manuscripts were in Greek in fact, but the language of Jesus was not Arabic. So the idea is that it was in English. So they used the term Holy Bible. Muslims felt jealous, said, you have a Holy Bible, we have a Holy Quran. But this is not correct, because we have a better name, which Allah gave to His book, Quran Kareem, Noble Quran, Quran Majid, Glorious Quran, Quran Azim, the Magnificent Quran, Quran Hakim, full of wisdom, the Quran full of wisdom. These are the names which we use because Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam used them. They did not use holy. Tayyib, Ibrahim, can you say Holy Prophet? Why not? Isn't the Prophet sallallahu alaihi
wasallam
holy? And what does that mean? What does divine mean?
Divine means it's directing only the God. So we should not say the divine thing the messengers. Messengers are prophets.
Messengers are prophets?
Messengers, sorry, messengers.
Messengers are what?
We should not say the messengers with their name holy.
Why not?
Because it's implied giving the meaning of divine messenger.
Exactly. Because when you say holy prophet, this in the Christendom is equal to Holy Ghost and Holy Son. And these three to them are gods. Their God is a triune God. Triune, which is three in one, from trio, three, right? Triple, same words. They believe in a triple God, which somehow still manages to be a single God. So they say, the Christians, the Father is a God, the Son is a God, and the Holy Ghost is a God. But they go on to say, but they're not three gods, they're one God. So their expression, Holy Son, is actually given Jesus' divine attributes, which only belong to Allah. Only Allah is divine. The only divine being is Allah Azza wa Jalla. Everything else is undivine. It is the creation of the divine. Divine? Divine in Arabic. Good question. I have a reference. Wait 1 second. But I wanted to hold on. Divine. Who can think of that in the meantime? Divine, ilahi. Ilahi from uluhiyya, right? So this is one of the close meanings, but just so I will not confuse you, let me give you the references from the source. Yes, it is actually divine inspiration, ilhamun ilahi. So divine is ilahi. This is what I thought, but alhamdulillah turned out to be correct. So this is the divine. They don't have it as a single word. They have it associated with other words, divine attributes, sifat ilahiya, meaning something that has to do with ilah. Ilah is one who is worshipped, and the only true ilah, al ilah, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then saying Holy Prophet is wrong, Holy Quran is wrong, Holy Ramadan is wrong. And in the Western world, holy is used in the worst sense. Holy cow and other stuff that I'm not even going to mention here because this is not befitting. So we don't use that. Now you will say, brother, who are you? Person on big TV, you know, he said Holy Quran, and Sheikh such and such, he said Holy Quran, and this big da'iya, million people became Muslim, he was using Holy Quran. Who are you to tell us, you know, that this is, say, listen man, this is not a joke, you know, we have evidences. It's not emotionalism, wallah, because he's a big Sheikh, meaning he's perfect. He's not perfect, neither am I, neither is anyone else. Everyone makes mistakes. They maybe never thought of it this way, maybe never had the chance to review it, maybe there's a lack of knowing something else, like they know things that we don't know. So you follow the truth. If what I'm saying is not convincing, alhamdulillah, you don't have to follow it. If you have other evidences which negate this, it's all good. But to say, you know, because Fulan, famous da'iya, is using this, then I have to use it, he must be correct, we say this is wrong. He doesn't have to be correct. The Sahaba, when they exerted their effort at times and their knowledge, they made mistakes. When the verse was revealed, حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ, one of the Sahaba put a black thread and a white thread under his pillow. Right? And then Prophet ﷺ explained to him that this is the actual break of Fajr, the break of dawn. He had, so he exerted his knowledge, radiallahu anhu wa arda. If the Sahabis exerted their knowledge and were not always right, they had to be corrected by the Prophet ﷺ. So who can say that any da'iyah today is perfect? No one can say that. So yes, it's very popular to say holy, holy, holy. But you know what? We don't have that many things holy in Islam. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and khalas. This is where the whole holy thing ends. طيب. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق. Who can translate these two verses? Ouch. Now we move from word to sentences. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. I know you know the words. اقرأ, recite. It's better to say recite than read. Who knows why? I can't hear. Why is it better to use the translation recite rather than using the translation read? Yes, Akhi. Right. Right. Beautiful. This is exactly what the answer is. Reading can be from reading and can be just simply recitation. It carries both meaning. However, reciting is usually particular. It doesn't have to deal with a book. Now, because the Prophet ﷺ is ill, he was unlettered, right? And it is better to use unlettered rather than illiterate. Now, all these things are, you may have heard me before, use otherwise. We grow, right? We grow, we learn, we change. Because illiterate is usually used as someone who is ignorant. Not only he cannot write or read, he is also ignorant, jahil. And Prophet ﷺ was the most knowledgeable of human beings. But when you say unlettered, meaning he did not learn how to read or write. And this is more befitting as a description of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. So because I've had a Christian ask me before, he said, listen, you said that your Prophet is unlettered. I said, yes. So why did the angel tell him read? Does God not know that he cannot read? Hey, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. So when you have this understanding, say, listen, Iqra can mean recite. And he was requested to recite. He didn't have a paper in front of him. that he was supposed to read. He was supposed to recite, and then the angel embraced him, and then he said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق. And this is how the Quran revelation began with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So is that clear? طيب, اقرأ, recite. بسم, in the name, like Bismillah. ربك, your Lord. Rabb is Lord. الذي, the one who, خلق, created. Okay, so recite in the name of your Lord who created. خلق الإنسان, he created man. They use human beings, mankind, humankind, man, all of these are applicable. Created mankind, من علق, cloth. How do you spell it? MashaAllah. English professor over here. Clot, C-L-O-T. Okay, a blood clot is alaq. طب مضغة. This is all scientific now. Chewed substance. Something which is chewed from yabnu. Good, mashallah, tabarakallah. Yes, well, it has a number of, it's something that from yata'allaq, something that is hanging, right? And it is similar to a particular kind of small animals or insects, which is known as the leech, right? Yeah, this is one. There was one more, but I cannot recall it right now. Tayyib, let's see here. Ameen, what does it mean? Oh, Allah accept. Okay, good. Thank you for raising your hands. Min al-Rada'. You know, you may have a mother through breastfeeding. What do we call her? No, you have to raise your hand. I'm going to be very strict from now on. Yes, I mean, but that kind of mother, like, you know, you have your biological mother, you have your mother-in-law, okay? What do we call the mother who is related to you through breastfeeding? Because she breastfed you, nursed you when you were young. Foster mother, mashallah. Foster mother, F-O-S-T-E-R. طيب. Ruku' in English. Ruku'. In English, no, give me the meaning in English, the translation. What do you call that act of going from standing up into... see, Boeing is an airplane. It's bowing. Now, be careful. This is the issues of pronunciation. The pronunciation in English is so important, unlike any other languages. Give you an example. I'll give you an example. The word record, what does it mean? Record. SED, an old-fashioned record. Good. Another meaning?
History record.
Record of history. Okay, good. Other meanings? File. You have my records. Let me look up your record, your file. World record in terms of beating. No. Recorder is another word. Now, these are all nouns. If I wanted to use the verb, I can no longer say record. I have to say record. Can I record your class? You cannot say, can I record your class? Because if you say, can I record your class, meaning you're going to bring a file and you're going to make a file for this class. And you will have a file for your records and you pull up the record later on. If you wanted to use the verb, which is to record something on a recorder, then you have to say record, record, record. Spelled the same, written the same, pronounced differently. Depending on the pronunciation, the meaning changes. Very important. And if this is not the only example in English language, we have hundreds and hundreds of words wherein if you were to say them incorrectly, you would deliver the wrong message to the people. Right? So now here in this case, if we say bow, you know, it's usually bow and arrow. Again, you know, the bow and arrow. But bow is ruku'. So you have to make that bow sound. Otherwise, I may not understand the message as a native speaker, not me. But if you were speaking to native speakers and you gave them a lecture about Islam and you made this issue, this may be an issue for them. To you, you know what you're saying. He doesn't know what you're saying. He doesn't know what bowing is, right? So, or ruku', you may say the Arabic word. So it's very important then to get the correct pronunciation in. Tayyib. Sujood, raise your hand. Or don't even raise your hand. Right there, brother. Sujood. Prostration. Is that correct? Good. Tayyib. This is a tough one. Shara'. Law and legislation. Both are used. Usually if it's Islamic Shara', we say divine law. Now why do you say divine? Because it's from Allah. Not the law of the human beings, right? Some of the laws of the human beings, in my country, believe it or not, in my country, if someone jumped out the window, okay, to commit suicide, and he landed on your car and died, you are considered to have killed him because your car was in the way. He wanted to jump on the ground and your car was in the way. He crashed on your car and died. You will go to jail for killing this person. Do you believe this? This is man-made law. In the United States, back when they put together the Constitution, you know what was part of the Constitution? Guess what? A black man is equal to 1/4 of a white man, or something along these lines. These were like the most intelligent people at that time, supposedly, bringing the fresh and the understanding to the people. A black man is equal to some percentage of a white man. So believe it or not, in the beginning, there were white restaurants, white buses, black people can't ride. Not only black people, anyone who's off color, if they didn't have a, you know, if they were not European, they are considered to be among the, you know, the black people. Doesn't have to be an African black person. These people were looked at like, what is this man? Don't get on the bus with us. Until recently, you know, they had this revolution or whatever, and some of the, you know, the black, the colored people, they call them colored people, as if white is not a color. They were able to get some of their rights, and until now it still exists, you know, it's embedded in the minds of the people, this kind of attitude that I am better than you because of my skin color. This exists up until today. And so yeah, that tells you a lot about, you know, some of the things that, you know, these are man-made laws. Nonsense, man. Nonsense. So the best law is the law of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Right? The best law is the law, the divine law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the one that will save the people from the punishment on the Day of Judgment. Okay, these are very easy. We will be concluding very soon. But let me get a little more technical here. Rami al-Jamarat. Raise your hand, please. What do you translate Rami al-Jamarat as? Stoning the what? Shaitan? That was exactly what I was hoping I would not hear. Yeah, there's no such thing, man. Brother, if the shaitan was there, nobody would be whispering anything to you. For 1400 years people have been throwing stones at him. Don't you think he would have died by now? There's no shaitan in the Jamarat. There's the event with Ibrahim. And this action of ours symbolizes us remembering Allah by stoning the Jamarat as Ibrahim did. But we don't believe that we are stoning the shaitan. There's no shaitan there, right? So people get excited and they take off their shoes. You know, you separated between me and my wife, and you know, he may throw a son, if the only thing is left is the son, you know. Relax, ya Hajj. Allahu Akbar. That's it. Remember Allah, Allahu Akbar. It's not going on a fight. Otherwise, he would have been defeated by now. Or he would have reduced his effort. It doesn't make a difference. So it's the Prophet ﷺ said, that was made, the sa'i and the stoning of the jamarat, and he mentioned other things, was only established li dhikrillah. So you may remember Allah. There's no such thing as stoning the shaitan. And jamarat does not mean shaitan, it means pillars. Jamara is like a pillar, and you're stoning pillars that have been set there in order for you to stone them. So for future, because I remember I received some emails when a brother told me, and so I went to stone the shaitan. I was like, okay, so there's no, you know, there's no stoning the shaitan, right? You're stoning the jamara. Very popular, but very incorrect. Okay, let's see. Now, we will end with this inshallah. Kursi. Wasi'a kursiyuhu as-samawati wal-ard. You have to raise your hand. You have to raise your hand. Footstool. Who says it's strong? Raise your hand. If you think kursi is strong, raise your hand. One. Any other victim? Two victims? Three victims? They're not even picking up on the word victim. Four victims, mashallah. Five. Tayyib. For those of you who said that kursi means throne, what is arsh? Huh? No answer. Oh brother. Mafi. Because the arsh is the throne. Arsh is the throne. ثُمَّ اسْتَوَى عَلَى الْعَرْشِ. Then Allah rose above the throne in a manner which befits His Majesty subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kursi is technically speaking chair. Kursi. But in the context of Islam, kursi that was mentioned in Ayat al-Kursi is the footstool of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu wa taqaddasat asma'u. Again, the belief of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah that we don't resemble Allah to His creation. We don't imagine human beings. We don't have any images in our minds. There's nothing like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدٍ. There's none who equal to Him. وَلَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There's nothing like unto Him. This is our belief. This is our belief. But whatever Allah taught us in the Quran and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then we believe in that. So this was some, and believe me, there's an ocean. This whole book, I mean, you can find it in bookstores. This whole book is a compilation of it's a dictionary of Islamic terms, English, Arabic, and then Arabic English as well. And there are more books in the market because this is a very sophisticated field. Now, for you to become a successful da'iyah, I'm not saying we have to memorize this, but brothers, we have to have a very decent amount of knowledge concerning the words. So when we speak to a kafir who was brought to the da'wah center or came to you, you should be able to communicate with them in words that they understand. You should be able to use these words freely. Otherwise you're going to be saying, you know the word in Arabic or Urdu, or you know, but you don't know how to say it in English. And you're going to lose him. You will lose him in the process because he will not understand the message. And we said language is the vehicle by which you transport the information from point A to point B. If you don't have a car, you're not going to make it. So the language is very important then to improve. So with this we conclude this particular evening's class. What we will be dealing next week inshallah with will be a surprise. A surprise. But be ready for next Tuesday's class inshallah ta'ala with the session 3 of the da'wah enhancement classes. Wa akhiru da'wah alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.